Hungry for a word from the word. Amen?
Amen.
Is that it? That you're doing good? That everything's fine? That you're on the winning side? Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Well, if you would take your Bibles and turn to the book of Revelation, chapter 4, where I'm going to start a word from the word tonight. And verse 10. Let's start with verse 10. The four and 20 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever. And they cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they were created. Amen and amen. I want to share a word with you tonight entitled, Your Highest Goal in Life Should Be to Please God. You know, there's so many ways that churches, denominations, we try to present a gospel that can be understood, what God's all about, what he requires, what he wants. You know, there's no dress code in the Bible. I bet. Now, I'm speaking like that. And there are so many things that mankind tries to help God with that is not found in the Bible. We just like to keep it simple and truthful. And say to you, one of the things that we can say is that your highest goal every day, I had a day like this last week, and it just shook me inside, is to just wake up and say, Lord, I was created to please you. That's what the word declares from cover to cover. And I want to do that. And if you'll help me, if you'll show me how I can do that today, I will do the best I can to please you. Now we look at the book of Matthew chapter 3, where Jesus is being baptized. And a voice from heaven calls out and says this, This is my beloved Son, whom I am well pleased. Now, I've said this many times in the pulpit. On my good days, I'm not trying to please man. I'm trying to please God. And that's a totally different thing. It takes you on a totally different journey. You go down different streets, and it may cost you a little bit to stand up for Jesus. God is looking for people that will stand up for him in this hour, because that's what it's going to take for some of them to get saved. How many of you believe there's still people out there that can be saved? Amen and amen. This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. You know, Jesus never made a mistake. Jesus never sinned. He was without sin. The word says in Corinthians, he who knew no sin became our sin, that we might become the righteousness of God. So, that is the truth about Jesus. But over and over again, he said that his Father was always with him. What places in the Gospel of John? My Father is always with me because I always do the things that please him. And I want to say to you that there are many benefits to pleasing God instead of yourself. I'm going to say to you, it's not always that easy, but it's always that right that you can do it, if you can handle it. Can you handle it? You know what? The word also says, like in Thessalonians and other places, be God pleasers and not man pleasers. It is so easy in this life, whatever boat or mission, whatever we're doing, to try to please men, sometimes at the sacrifice of not pleasing God. I'm going to say that many times it's a lot harder to please God. And because the little things that we read over and over about how we're supposed to turn the other cheek, how we're supposed to put people above us, think about them above us, and how we're supposed to be forbearing. And by this shall all men know that you're my disciples, that you love one another. That's easier said than done. That's easier said than done. Sometimes it's very difficult when you're dealing sometimes with another brother or sister, a child, a relative, and sometimes you just want to just take the easy road. And it's hard to stand up sometimes for what's right. It's not harder than it can absolutely be done, but sometimes it's hard. I have been in positions many times in my life where I just decided to try God. Do what I believe he wanted me to do, which was what I did not. I believe that the devil is working more now because he knows his time is short, according to the Bible. His time is short. Did you know that Satan is the biggest loser in all of creation? You know what makes him the biggest loser at this time? Some of you know what I'm saying. It's because he is the only person named by name that he's going to the lake of fire. He's the only one named by name that he's rejected by God. Jesus called him with a small g, the God of this world. And he sees how much God loves mankind. And it makes Satan hate mankind. And he will do everything he can to trip us up, and then he'll condemn us for it. He'll make us feel bad. You know, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. You know, we say this, and I'm gonna add a new dimension to it. Well, Jesus forgave my sin. Jesus will forgive your sin. Jesus is your forgiver. Because let's just be honest. The day that you asked Christ into your heart, you didn't stop sinning, and neither did I. And most of the verses about sin and forgiveness in the Bible are directed to the church of Jesus Christ, his people. And he knew what he was getting into when he saved you. Now listen to me. Think about how much he loves you. He knew. He knows. You believe, do you know what Alpha and Omega is? It's the beginning and the end. And he knows the end from the beginning. And he knew how many times he would forgive you to bring you to heaven. That's his goal. That's his chief goal. And you know what else? If we will cooperate with him, his other goal is to bless us while we're on this earth. With many things, some that money can buy, some things, there's a peace that passes understanding. There's a joy unspeakable and full of glory for people in this life right now. He loves us. He loves us like a father loves his children, because the highest thing that we can call God is Father, and the highest thing he can call us is not servant. He calls us his children. He loves us in that way. God is very pleased when we are good to others and we give to others. That's how do I please God? Well, try not to shake anybody down. Be good to people. And try to be like person that can turn the other cheek, Try to be like the person that can hold their tongue. There's a reward to doing that. I can't think of any better reward than for God to say of you, this is my beloved servant, Sophie. This is my beloved servant, Patty. This is my beloved servant, Taylor. And it's a harder way to wake up and step forward, but it's always right to seek the approval of God rather than the approval of men. One of the things that's spoken of in Hebrews chapter 11 about Enoch. Enoch is spoken of in Genesis chapter 5 at the beginning of the record of mankind. Just a few generations from creation, Enoch lived here. And it says that Enoch, in the faith chapter 11, it says, by faith, Enoch was translated out of this life. That word translation means rapture. Enoch was the first rapture mentioned in the Bible. Elijah the prophet in the book of Kings was the second one. And of course, Jesus was raptured out of here. And there is a happening schedule in front of us called the catching away or the rapture of the church. Corinthians, we will not all die, but we will all be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. Then there's the book of Revelation. Thessalonians. It says, like a thief in the night, he's going to come. And he's going to catch away his church. And we'll all be changed in the moment and in the twinkling of an eye. Now there's a verse that I want to share with you right now that became very important in my life last Thursday. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 16, and verse 7, one of the most powerful things that God can tell you is this. When a man's ways please the Lord, he will make your enemies to be at peace with you. I have a situation. How many of you are familiar with the term divine appointment? Something just happens, people are put together, and for a purpose. Last week, I entered into one of the most intense divine appointments of my life, top 10. I've had many of them, and where there was an individual that was a part of this church some years ago, and this person left, and it got sticky. It got where, as pastor, I just had to stand up for this church and what was going on. And it caused hurt. And it caused our feelings. You know that the Bible says that the wounds of a friend are faithful. And your mother and father, your boss at work, your pastor at church is not doing you a favor when they don't have the wherewithal to say, no, wait, you're wrong. And you're just not going to get away with that. And it was a situation like that. And I was on my way to a meeting with this person. I started that day totally different, in a totally different direction, working on some agricultural things in my, I've got two corn fields that I'm growing, but I started that day like I start every day saying, Heavenly Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. You have a right to do with me whatever you want to do. Now, if you're going to pray that, you better mean that. I'll do whatever, I will try to do whatever you want me to do. And you know, Jesus was the only one that ever walked on this earth and never sinned and did everything he was supposed to do. He said, my Father is always with me because I always do what he wants me to do. And I ended up in the most bizarre, uncomfortable situation, meeting with a person that I never wanted to see again, that had been slamming our church, slamming me, slamming my family, slamming certain members in this church. And the Lord said, Angelo, did you mean that this morning? Were you not created for my pleasure? You're about to have a chance, an opportunity to do that, Lord. Angela. He said, now this is what I need you to do. You're going to meet this person. They are going to, you're going to ask them. You're going to show them love. You're not going to, you know how sometimes, well, I'll tell you, I've done this. Somebody that makes us uncomfortable, we've had a problem with them, and the blue light special at Walmart is on aisle 4, but we don't give a rip. We're going over here to aisle 10 and stay away from that person. Amen? It reminds me of a kid at this Walmart here many, many years ago when Kelly, I don't even know if she could talk yet, and I had her in the cart, and there was a woman walking, and you could tell she'd been mad all day long. Kelly just caught the eye of this woman. She was just a baby. She studied this woman. And when this woman, Kelly was in that basket, when this woman got right here, Kelly used to do this all the time. She stuck her face into that woman's face and went like this. And that woman's countenance just changed. Remember that woman? No wonder I could look at any of my Bibles and see what Kelly preached the message this year, that year, the year before. I just love Kelly. I'm so proud of her, and I hope you are. And he said, I need for you to, the only way I want to fix this person, the only way that I can fix this person, if you will listen to them and repent to them for things that you did not do. So when you say in the morning, dear Lord Jesus, I'll go anywhere you want. I'll do anything you want. That morning, he said, Angelo, were you sincere in your prayer? I said, yes, Lord. And I knew what he was talking. I knew exactly what was going to happen tonight. He said, Father, I will. But I need your grace. I need the words. I don't know if this person will start out by yelling at me. And then I'll, he says, if they do, just quietly walk away. So, I cannot tell everything that happened, but it would blow you away. I met with this person. I said to this person, you know, we haven't talked. Is there anything that I've done? I hurt you. Have I done anything that I need to forgive for? And this person teared up and just began to share, yeah, you did this. And I just listened. Because I want to ask you a question. Because in just a moment, you'll be on your knees getting ready to take communion. How bad do you want to praise the Lord? Would you take it on the chin for the Lord? Would you just try to do that? This person told me the violation, what this person felt like I did the wrong there. And I looked them in the eye and said, I was wrong. I see. I don't need to be a big baby about that. Because that's exactly what Jesus did. And when I said I was wrong, I had their attention. When I said that I sinned, their expression changed. When I said, can you ever forgive me? They just broke. They just broke down. I hugged that person's neck. And I could, you could just see. I mean, is it really important to be right all the time? Just think about it. Then that person turned on me. They said this. Well, last that I was a parish Christian saying, I know I did wrong. I did many wrongs. Open the book. You want to open somebody up? Take one for the team. I'm talking about the J team. What does J stand for? This person said to me, is there anything that I've done to you personally, to your family, that I need to repent? Because I'll do it. I looked this person in the eye. I said, nothing wrong. Nothing wrong. That's what it is. Did you totally set people free? Or do we just have to have our way? Have our, you did this, you did. Because Jesus, he was going to bat for you. He was going to bat for me. That's not what he did. Well, I told that person, no, I don't have anything like that. I just love the crime even harder. And I walked away from that last person. I was drained for the rest of the day. I understand what Jesus said. You touch me. Virtue has gone out of me. Because if you do God's will, at times, virtue is going to go out of you. And it's just going to leave you. Ministry is going to go out of you. God doesn't use me because I'm a preacher or a pastor. God uses me because I'm a son and I'm a believer. And I'll take him at his word. They're so sweet. Stop with the little children to come under me. And forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of heaven. And their angels do always see the face of my Father. Isn't that true about children? In just a moment now, we're going to make an altar. I don't have an altar call for you. This is so personal. God's asking some people in this room. Take one for the team. You know who you are. God's asking to let somebody off the hook. God's asking you to forgive somebody like Jesus forgave you. So thank you very much for letting me share with you tonight. It's an honor. It's my joy. My immediate family, you are our family. My girls, all they know is you. You're one of them. You're part of our family. All of you all, so much. And you know what? I'm sure that since I started this ministry, I've hurt people. And I've probably hurt people in this room. I'm asking you to forgive me. If you give me specifics, I'll attempt that, and I'll make it right with you if I can. Because I really believe forgiveness is the beginning of a lot of new church in a two-way street. Let's make an altar. Let's come to the altar. Do some good.